like that. I can sing at the house, and you know, Martha and I sound pretty good at house because there ain't nobody there to listen, but just her and I. We sound pretty good together, don't we, hon? Wonderful. Yeah. Just the first song, worship, is something that, we do. And I know today, even in the church today, there's some controversy about what worship is, how, what style. And, you know, we can get into differences down here, likes, dislikes, but, you know, when it all comes down, what we do is we have to honor the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am, as was in that song. And now when you look at that and when you say that, the great I Am, it's always present. I Am. I mean, that's what God told Moses to tell them who sent him. I Am. He's always present. He's always current. This Bible is not just a history book. This Bible is relevant to today. It's current today. And so we need to worship. And whatever style of worship you like, or whatever style of worship you embrace, Christ is the center of the worship. And whether we lift hands or we don't, you know, we used to sing a song church years ago, stand up for Jesus. But, you know, we sang that when we were sitting down. Yeah. Didn't we? But worship is just our giving back thanks to God and focusing on what God has done and anticipating what God is going to do, expecting. We heard a speaker not long ago was talking about being offended, offenses. And in that message, he said, well, maybe we need to lower our expectations of people. I don't really agree with that. And I don't believe that God is going to lower his expectations from you or I. You know, when you read through the scriptures, when you look at the life of Christ, especially when he addressed the fig tree, it says that he went expecting to find something. The lame man in Acts chapter 3, when he looked at Peter and John, when he said, look at us, he looked at them, what? Expecting to get something. And so I also heard Gloria Gaither say one time, you may be familiar with her, she said, if you want to be happy, lower your expectation. If you want to be great, raise them. So I, you know, when we come to church, what do we expect? We expect God to hear. We expect God to inhabit our praise, our worship. We give him that invitation. God, come. God, come. And whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, God, you know, we want to give you the freedom to do it. And God will never do anything unruly or disrespectful. You know, we read in 1 Corinthians 12, let everything be done decently and in order. That's Bible. And that's the kind of God we serve. Everything is done decently and in order. We as human beings mess it up. We can mess things up. But God will always do things that honor and glorify him. Sometimes man wants to do things that glorify himself, and that's not scriptural. But we want to do things that honor and glorify him. Amen? Amen. I'm done. No. If you want to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Romans chapter 4, Romans Romans chapter 4. And we've been looking with a theme, the God who was, still is. And we're going to continue that tomorrow night. And, you know, these nights are going by pretty quick. And we just thank God for his presence. And again, we just want to speak encouragement into us, to you. And I'm not only speaking to you, you know, I'm speaking to myself as well. And so we've been looking, and we've been using titles or names from that song, Waymaker. We've looked, but as for me, we've looked at the Waymaker. We've looked at a miracle worker. And tonight we want to look at the Promise Keeper. And we want to look at just a few verses here found in Paul's writing in Romans chapter 4. And it's about a man that you probably heard of, Abraham. And I want to look at, beginning at verse 18. And it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, or faith increased, and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Ending at verse 21. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and indeed, Lord, we asked of your help. God, give us ears to hear what you would say tonight. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? You know the heart of the Father. You know, and we ask that you do the will of the Father tonight in this service, as it is here tonight, as it is in heaven. And we do ask for your anointing. We ask for your leading and directing. We ask again that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Those verses that I just read have always been kind of a favorite, not my number one favorite, but some favorite verses in the scripture. And it tells us how that we should be living our lives depending upon God and what God has spoken in the form of promises to his people. And I read recently that there was a student of scripture spent a year and a half attempting to count the number of promises God made to humanity. And this number staggered me, but it said he came up with 7,487 promises. Now, some of these promises are positive, the assurance of blessing. Some of them are negative, the guarantee of consequences. Now, we always want to talk about the blessings. I mean, they're fun and they're easy to talk about. And they're beneficial and encouraging to hear. But what about the consequences of things that can happen if we disobey the Lord? Some promises are conditional. They're based on what I do. And I made reference in one of the messages about 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if the condition is, if my people humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then the promise is, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That's a conditional promise. Another conditional promise is in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, therefore, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The condition is, if my choice, if I confess with my mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is my Savior, that Jesus is the Lord of my life, and I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want him to have preeminence in my life, that I give him the throne in my life, and that I never knock him off the throne of my heart and my life and replace him with something else. But that Jesus remains to have preeminence in my life and sitting on the throne, that if I confess the Lord Jesus Christ and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, then the condition is met and I shall be saved. Another one is found in Malachi 3:10. You may be familiar with it. It's talking about money. And sometimes you talk about money, people don't want to tell you what to do with their money. They get a little antsy. They get a little itchy. Don't be meddling in my money. Right? We get a little leery of talking about money. All you're going to do is ask for money. No, I'm not asking for money. I'm telling you what the Bible says. In Malachi 3, God is speaking, and he says, you know, the word is given that you're robbing God, and they say, well, how do we rob God? And he says, therefore, if you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that my storehouse is full. That's the condition. So tithing is up to you. You know, tithing is up. And they say, well, tithing is not a New Testament principle. Well, yes, it is. Don't give me that garbage. Tithing is giving back to God 10%. That's what he says. A tithe is a tenth. And God says, if you give me that 10%, that tithe, the condition is met. The promise is given. And he says, you can even test me on this. The only place in Scripture where you find those words, God saying, test me on this. And he says, see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you cannot contain. Do you see the promise, the blessing? And now those are conditional promises, and there's many more in Scripture, and some are unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do, God has already done it. John 3:16, we can quote that. This is not a conditional thing. This is not based on anything you do. God has already done it. For God so loved, he gave, that whosoever believes shall have eternal life and his son Jesus Christ. Now, believing is not just a mental acknowledgement. Oh, yeah, I know, I believe Jesus. I celebrate his birthday every Christmas. But there is a transformation takes place in your life, that Jesus comes and takes up residence in your life. And it's like I said the other night, once, if we behold Jesus Christ, there has to be a change. If we look intently on Jesus Christ, there has to be a change in our lives. That's not a conditional thing. And then Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. God has already done it. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me, he loved you, before we even knew anything about him. Even though we didn't want anything to do with him. God demonstrated his love in that he sent his son to die for us. All of these promises are binding For not only is God a promise maker, but God is a promise keeper. God just does not make idle promises. You know, you have been made, maybe you, somebody has made you a promise and has not followed through with it. Maybe you've made somebody a promise and have not followed through with that. You know, one of the things that we find is so easily to do is that we tell other people, hey, I'll pray for you. And we go our merry way and boom, we don't do that. But God has made promises. His promises are based upon the honor of his name. And God is a promise keeper. And that is what Abraham believed. That is what Abraham believed. That God, again, there as in verse 21, that it says that he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Now, you have to put yourself in Abraham's place. He's 100 years old. He's without a son. He's not without an heir. And God says, this time next year, you're going to have a son. That'd be kind of shocking, wouldn't it? Sarah thought it was kind of funny when she heard it. And she was confronted and she said, I didn't laugh. And God said, well, yeah, you did. But at that particular time, he heard the word of God and it didn't meet all the natural logic or reasoning. And that's why it says, against all hope, against all natural reasoning, Abraham still had hope. Abraham still had faith. Abraham still trusted that what he heard coming from the lips of God, God was able to do. And even as he thought about it, and as time went on, his faith didn't weaken, but his faith grew stronger. And that's what we need to do. We need to hold fast to the promise, to the word of God. If you find you're in need, to every need you have or will ever face, there is a promise in the Word of God. And when God speaks that promise into your heart, into your spirit, hold fast to that promise. Don't let go of the promise. Don't let Satan pervert the word. You know, Satan cannot prevent the word of God from happening, but he can pervert it. Go back to Genesis 3. It said the serpent approached Eve and said, did God really say this? And she said, well, yeah, God said this, this, and this. And he said, God didn't really mean that. Well, what did God mean? When you have a promise found in the Word of God, and we have to believe that this book is absolute truth. If I can't believe this book, there is not a book written on earth today that I can believe. I have to believe this book. We used to refer to this book as the inerrant Word of God. There is absolutely no error in this book. That word has been kind of lost throughout the time, but it still remains the inerrant word of God. This book is without error. It is absolute truth. And when the Spirit of God speaks a word to me, I hold to that truth. As I gave an example the other night, facing surgery in Reading, God led me to Deuteronomy 1, 29 through 31. And I held close to that. I held tight to that. I didn't want to go through surgery, but God got me through it. God was my way maker. And I held on to the truth. And God brought me through it for his glory and honor. And again, as I said, Abraham's faith did not waver, but it grew stronger and being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. You have to be fully persuaded as well. I can't make you fully persuaded. It's a decision you make. Either you believe it or you don't. And do not let the deceiver rob you of that promise. Well, maybe it wasn't meant for you. Are you sure you're good enough to receive that? Are you sure you've done this or you've done that? It doesn't matter what I do. If the Spirit of God speaks a promise into your heart, it's for you. It is for you. It is for that time. And hold fast to that word of God. That is how Abraham lived his life. And that is how we are to live our lives today. Standing on the promises that God has given us. Recognizing and believing that they are absolute truth. Now, not only Abraham, but Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Isaiah, Moses, Mary, Paul, on and on and on. Individuals that came from all walks of life, and the one common thread that weaved them all together, that characterized them as they each built their lives on the promises of God. On the promises of God. We live in an unsettled world. We live at a time of uncertainty. And my question tonight, is there anything in your world, in your life, that is unsettled? Is there anything unclear? Is there something or anything that you're unsure of? What can the people of God do in these trying times? What can we rely on, and whom can we trust or believe? How many of you, and you don't have to show hands, but how many of you trust your doctor? How many of you trust your banker? How many of you trust your insurance agent? How many of you people trust other people? Well, if you can trust people you see, how can we not trust the God who's redeemed us? If I can put my trust in my banker with my finances, if I can put my trust in my doctor to treat me, to treat an illness or to treat something, and he knows something about me, why can't I trust the one who created me? Why not trust the one who knows everything about me? The one who knows what I'm even going to say before I even say it. That's kind of scary, isn't it? That God knows what you're going to say before you even open your mouth. He knows what you think. I can't see what you're thinking, but God knows. You know, it's always interesting to see, you know, people look around to see what they might get away with. But God sees everything. We may not, but God sees everything. We must hold fast to the word of God. We must cling tightly to the promises that God has made us. And back in Psalms 145, we find this verse. It says, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." If you believe God is faithful, then you have to believe that God is faithful to his promises. And you might say, "Yeah, but." I don't want to hear, "Yeah, but." God is faithful to his promises. Because if he's not, then he's just like any other human being. And God is not like any other human being. He's divine, yes, but he's also human in the form of Jesus. Amen? The Word became flesh. Divine took on the form of man. And he was tempted like we are, yet without sin. So the Lord is faithful to all of his promises. And back, back in 1 Kings, in chapter 8, we find this word, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel, just as he promised." Now catch this next line. "Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Not one promise. Not one promise has failed that he gave through his servant Moses. Now, just let me ask you a question. If all the promises that God gave through a human being never failed, will the promises he ever give through his son Jesus ever fail? No. No. God's promises never fail because God does not fail. I don't believe God has ever failed. Amen? He's not. His word will never fail because God does not fail. God is faithful. We as the people of God must believe that God is able to do what he says he will do. That God is able to do what he's said he will do. You know, we must be like Abraham in verse 18. Against all natural hope, against all natural reasoning, Abraham still had hope because he believed God. And that's what faith is. Faith is the deeply held belief that God will keep his promises. We know what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now, faith is the substance, the foundation of what we hope for, what we build on. Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what Jesus told Thomas. Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Seeing is believing. You believe because you see. But then he said, blessed are those who believe who have not seen. I believe. I believe that God's word is relevant. I believe God's word is true. I believe God is faithful. I believe his promises are for me. And as I need a word from him, a promise from him, the Spirit of God will give that to me, and I hold fast to that promise, and I will not let go. Because I'm thoroughly convinced that what God promised he would do, he has the ability to do. God's promises are irrevocable because of who God is. God is unchanging. God is unchanging. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, New Living Translation says, God can be trusted to keep his promises. God can be trusted to keep his promises. His promises are real and relevant for today. If you need help, God is here to help. If you need hope, God is here to restore hope. If you, whatever you need, God is here to do that. And he has a promise for that, for whatever that need is. He is faithful. You are, Psalm 71:22 says, you are faithful to your promises. The Bible tells us that faithful is he who calls, who will also do it. God is faithful. There's hymns in the hymn book that say that, and we sing it. Not only just mouth words, but do we believe what we're singing? Do we believe what we're saying? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking. Do I believe that, or do I just mouth words and words go out but mean nothing? God is faithful to his promises. God is strong. He is the mighty God. God does not overpromise nor underdeliver. God never gives you a promise that he cannot fulfill or cannot do. Because there is nothing impossible with God. That's something that we have to believe. I mean, when the angel Gabriel approached Mary and told her what was going to happen to her, and she says, well, how's this ever going to happen? The power of the Most High will come upon you. For nothing is impossible with God. And to reinforce that, he said, just right now, your cousin Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, who was barren and never had a child. Nothing is impossible with God. And again, these are just not words that we just kind of speak and they go out and evaporate, but they go out and they carry meaning. They carry life. They carry importance. God's word, God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. One thing for certain today is that God is a promise, is not a promise breaker, but a promise keeper. So upon whom or what are we building our lives? In whom or what are we placing our confidence and our trust? The circumstances of life or the promises of God? In Matthew 7, beginning at verse 24, Jesus gives us a story, and he's speaking there, and he says there are two kinds of builders, and one he labels foolish, and one he labels wise. And he describes the foolish builder as one who hears the word of God, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't adhere to it. He doesn't do what it says. He doesn't apply it to his life. And when the storms of life come, there is a great fall. There is a great collapse. When the storms of life come, and they come. Many of you, if not all of you, know that. You have encountered storms in your life. Some you saw coming, some you didn't, but they've come. Some more severe than others, but you're facing adversity. You're facing the winds of adversity, the beating of the waves, the thoughts. Everything is coming upon you. Jesus says that, you know, that person that hears and my word and doesn't do it is a foolish builder, because he won't be able to stand under all of that. But then he says the wise builder is the one who hears my word. Who hears my word. Who hears my word. Now, I believe it's Romans 10, 17 says that faith what? Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith comes now by hearing the word, not just hearing the word once, or not just reading the word once and say, well, I've done that. But faith comes by hearing, and a repeated hearing, a repeated reading, a repeated meditating. Chewing things over, chewing the scripture over. God, what are you saying here? What do you mean by this? And allow the Holy Spirit to make clear the things. Because God doesn't want you confused about his word. That's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. He wants you to walk in truth. He wants you to walk in understanding. We'll touch on this tomorrow night. But faith comes by hearing. He that hears the word and hears the word, he who meditates on it. Psalm 1 talks about that. He who meditates on the word. It's like a tree growing by a water, and they're strengthened. Their leaves grow. There's nourishment there. There's nourishment in the word of God. Spiritual nourishment. Spiritual vitamins. If you're a vitamin junkie, be a spiritual vitamin junkie. They're in here. Nothing against vitamins, okay? But we get spiritual vitamins from in here. But hearing the word, meditating on, talking about it. And then, but he who hears the word and applies it to his life, when the storms of life come, he's able to stand. He's able to stand. The word of God is a part of the whole armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. That we are to daily, every day, put on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace. the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith. Don't ever go into spiritual battle without the whole armor of God. But it is the sword of the Spirit that'll cut the enemy down every time. As I said, Jesus said, it is written. So he that hears the word and applies it to his life, when the storms come, and I promise you they'll come. There's not many things in this life, I promise, but the enemy will make sure that you encounter storms in your life, whatever they are. Spiritual, physical, financial, emotional. I guarantee you, you'll encounter them. But we have the Word of God. Psalmist in Psalm 138:2 says, for your promises are backed by the honor of your name. Your promises are backed by the honor of your name. You know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. There's a lot of honor and glory when it surrounds the name of God, Jehovah, Yahweh. There's honor that goes with the name of God. We honor and glorify that. Psalm 103 says, to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in thee, bless his holy name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is to be honored. Your name is to be praised, to be glorified, to be worshiped. A name that's above every name. And we know that one day every knee will bow. Every atheist, every agnostic, every unbeliever will bow and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. They may not think they will, but I guarantee you they will bow and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I encourage you tonight to take the Word of God. You know, and I know sometimes, you know, there's no set amount of reading that we have to do every day. You know, there's no rule that you have to read 5 chapters a day. But if you read 1 verse a day and it truly speaks to you, it's worth time being in the Word of God. And if that verse speaks to you, praise God. Just go with that verse. If you read a couple verses and it's not, God, what are you saying? Again, ask the Spirit of God to clarify. God, what are you saying here? What do you want me to take from that? What do you want me to learn from that? What can I take from that today? Because that's a part of Jesus' prayer. Give me today my daily bread, our daily bread. God, you know what I need to hear today. And ask him to show you, ask him to tell you. And when he speaks into your heart, if he gives you a promise, hold fast to that promise. Don't let the devil rob you of that promise. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. And God, we know that you are a way maker. We know that you are a miracle worker. And you are a promise keeper. And Father, we just read from your word that not one of the promises you made through Moses failed. And God, we believe tonight that all the promises you made through Jesus Christ never failed either. Again, Father, because you do not fail. So Father, tonight, we just want to thank you so much for your goodness, for your love for us, for your care for us, your concern for us. And we just pray, Lord, tonight that the Spirit of God would speak into the hearts and lives of these dear people and others, people who are wanting to hear from you, people who are longing and crying out to you, God, to need to hear from you, needing direction, needing wisdom, whatever it may be, God, speak into them tonight. And that they hold fast to your word, recognizing, God, that we need not weaken in faith, but our faith grows stronger, that whatever you promise, you are able to do. And God, that would cause great rejoicing, Lord, in our lives tonight. And so, Father, we thank you again for meeting with us. Grant safety as we travel to our homes. God, we anticipate you tomorrow night. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Amen.